Good morning. We are studying Discipleship 101, the study of the Sermon on the Mount, where we're focused on what we need to be doing as disciples in following Jesus and taking seriously our call to walk each day with Jesus and try to be what He would want us to be. And this week we are found in Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26, dealing with the topic of anger, which Jesus moves to very quickly after talking about the Beatitudes, the character that we're to have, and then talking about the influence we're to have as being salt and light in this world. And then He's going to move into various moral issues that we're going to be studying over the next several weeks. And in each of these issues, He takes what the Pharisees have said and how they are using and applying these Old Testament passages, and then He will say, "But I say unto you," Jesus is giving how we are to follow them. And He really is going beyond or deeper than the law to our heart. Do you know that Graves County experienced a very sad tragedy? And you might have heard and even read about it. And some of you have families probably connected with it. Back in 1921, and I've recently read this book that was loaned to me. And I know some of you have read it that came out recently. About the murder of our sheriff, John T. Roach, in 1921, only several months after he had been elected, by his deputy at the time, Sam Galloway. And, of course, like a lot of stories, you don't know exactly what happened. There were three trials over the issue, and there were various accounts given, and it's tough. And even the author talks about in the book, even he struggled to know exactly what happened, and I guess no one truly knows exactly what happened. But to make the story short of what happened that day in March, there had been some agreements worked out about what the deputy was to be paid and things of that nature, and he got wind that the sheriff was wanting to dismiss him as deputy. And he goes to the courthouse to have a discussion with him about this. Apparently, the discussion got heated over the issue, and there was some words exchanged, and they were taking this discussion down to the sheriff's office. And once again, it's kind of patchy, different accounts, but the bottom line is there was still some more words, whether they were loud words exchanged or whether they were quiet words, but they continued this argument. And then as the story goes, he believed that the sheriff was standing up against the window, and he thought that he had a gun there, and he thought he was going to shoot him. And the sheriff called him a yellow dog, which prompted him to pull his gun, and he was a trained Marine, and he shot the sheriff three times. The sheriff fell over, and he was soon to be pronounced dead. This tragedy, which happened very suddenly, very quickly, in a heat of rage, is going to tremendously affect Graves County for years to come. It's going to shatter the lives of these two families for years and decades to come. And that's an interesting story. And we look back now, almost 90 years later, and we can learn lessons from it, and we can even be moved to compassion for what the families went through. But it's exactly what Jesus is talking about in our text. And though we may not be provoked to pull a trigger, all of us at times are going to be struggling with this issue that is still so core to what it means to be a disciple, about keeping our emotions in check. Jesus says, "You've heard it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable of judgment." See, this is what the Old Testament said, that you shall not kill, the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not kill. But Jesus says, you guys have messed that up, and that you think as long as you don't do the act, as long as you don't actually pull the trigger and kill someone, then you can harbor as much anger and vengeance and bitter treatment and maliciousness towards someone. You can call them all kinds of names. You can speak all kinds of insults and trash talking, and it doesn't hurt as long as you don't murder. And Jesus says, That's wrong. That's wrong. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother, you see, Jesus says, before you get to murder, there's some things that happen. And what I want to talk to you is about the things that lead up to murder. Jesus says, I want to talk to you about anger. Most of us pass the test each day. Did you murder anybody? And we feel pretty good until we reach the next test. Have you been angry with anybody today? And Jesus is saying, you've got to go deeper. It's not just about that outward act that is the end result, but it's also about the emotions in the heart that precede it. Have you been angry with anybody today? For whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember your brother has something against you. Leave your gift before the altar and go. You know, we become, as humans, great at sarcasms and insults. We are experts at destroying relationships, and we know what we can say to hurt someone, and we often use this upon those that are closest to us. We know how to get under somebody's skin. We know how to hurt and how to provoke and how to insult. In this text, Jesus is saying, it's easy to destroy. Most people in the world are pretty good at destroying. Most people are good at cutting down other people, at throwing barbs and insults. But as a disciple of Jesus, don't get into tearing down. I want you to be focused on restoring. Be focused on building. Instead of being angry and always throwing insults, he says, I want you to focus on reconciliation. If you're at worship and you realize someone has something against you, that you've had anger with someone or someone's angry at you, he says, leave and go and be reconciled. You see, Jesus says, it's easy to destroy, but it's hard to rebuild. You know, Christians can be some angry people, and anger leads to disrespect. Jesus says that anger comes from our heart. Now, we understand that anger in and of itself is not sinful. Jesus is going to display anger at times, and there are some reasons why we often need to get angry. But the kind of anger that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 5, it seems, is the kind of anger that is incited. And it's the anger, there's two words in the Greek for anger. There's the one word that means when you just get upset in a heat of emotion really quickly, kind of like a pot of boiling water, it boils real quickly, and then if you turn it off, it will slow down and it will stop boiling. But this other word, the one that's used here, is the kind of anger that is long in its nature. It often rises slowly, but it stays for long periods of time. In other words, we're talking more about bitterness. We're talking about vengeance. We're talking about having hard feelings for someone that has severed your relationship that goes for years. Jesus is talking about this. And he's saying this kind of anger that often results, that may result in murder, as the Ten Commandments says, is actually begins with our attitude. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul would speak about this kind of anger. And he says that we're not to go to bed with this kind of anger. In other words, he says, don't let the sun set on your wrath. And in verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. You see, there's some reasons we should get angry, but he says, make sure you control it. Control it in a rational way. In James chapter 1, verse 20, this is the kind of anger that James says, that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then in Colossians chapter 3, talking about anger, in verse number 8 it says, but now you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. anger is connected with this kind of obscene talk, and foolish talk, and very harsh language. Notice that anger leads in the text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, to name calling. Jesus says, you say to another person, to your brother, you fool. Many of your versions will have the Aramaic term there, the raka. And there's two terms here used. One is the term raka, which means someone who is empty-headed, to put it kind of pretty directly, and really it's a very strong language. But it's kind of like in our English term, an idiot, dumb, or stupid. So he's saying, you're saying to someone else, you're a dummy. And really, the commentators say that in the Aramaic, it's almost like a foul language word. It's a word that I wouldn't want to use from the pulpit. It's very derogatory. You're an idiot. You're stupid. In a very strong way. And then the other word that he uses here, which translates you fool, is from the Greek word, and you'll figure this one out if you've ever watched The Three Stooges, moros, which is where we get our English word, moron. He's saying you're a moron. And really this one is connected with rebellion. And it has to do with the character of the other person. So he says, you say to the other person, you're not worth anything. You're of a shady character. You're a low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrel, as we might say in English. So here's what Jesus is saying. You talk trash to some other people, and you say one of two things. You either say you're dumb mentally, or you are of low character. Now, the problem with this is, it shows a great disrespect and attacks human value. And the real problem with this is, as Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You think this way about someone else. You see, if you think someone else is worthless, they have no value, they're an idiot, they're dumb, they're of low moral character, then Jesus says, you are angry with them, and it causes you to even lead to such acts as murder. We need to go back to the story that I told you. What provoked it? You yellow dog, name calling, hurting the honor of someone, provoking someone, which then leads to anger, which then leads to irrational actions that are regretted for a lifetime. Now, how do we do this today? How do we name call today? Well, we can get into yelling and name calling in our marriages. We can do it through our keyboards, can't we? Through Facebook and email and other type means. Through our phones, text messaging. We can use very harsh and abusive language that is very disrespectful of other people and shows a very low value of them. That's really speaking out of our anger instead of from our mind. We can even get involved in slanderous remarks, spreading gossip or spreading hurtful things or finding joy in the problems of others. You know, these are easy to do. And I think it's even a struggle sometimes to know how we should handle these issues, because we understand sometimes people are of low value. Not low value, excuse me, but are of low moral character. Sometimes we need to understand that, as Jesus says later on in this same sermon, that a tree will be known by its fruit. And we need to understand that. But Jesus here is talking about how we view other people. And if I enter into relationships where I begin that the other person is not as good as me, that the other person is not worth as much as I'm worth, that the other person is of lower intelligence and value and worth to God than me, then I'm automatically beginning with some real problems, aren't I? You see, Jesus is talking about how we treat our fellow man and how we view our fellow man. Anger leads to disrespect. But here's the challenging part. Anger must be replaced with a passion for reconciliation. He gives two illustrations in our text that is going to teach to focus on reconciliation. How do we typically deal with anger? How do we typically deal when someone gets under our skin and they frustrate us, and maybe we've had bitterness with them for years? Maybe we vent it. We just let it out. Maybe we even, you know, just really vocalize a lot of things, or maybe we even physically do some things. We can even get involved in suppressing it. We sweep it under the rug. We act like, you know, I'm just not going to let it bother me. I'm just not going to even be honest about those feelings. Not an appropriate way of handling anger. Just to say that's just not good for me to feel it, I'm just going to push them down. Or maybe the appropriate way, what Jesus is saying here, is we deal with it. We're honest with it. We have a right to those feelings when we have to process them and we have to deal with it. So Jesus gives two illustrations. He says, in the first illustration, he says, if you're in worship, in their context, you're going to the altar, and you realize that your brother has something against you. And by the way, here in Matthew 23, your brother has something against you. But later on in Matthew 18, verse 15, if you have something against your brother, so you can't get out of this. If you know your brother has something against you, or later on in Matthew 18, 15, if you have something against your brother, either way, the responsibility still is upon you. And he says, leave worship. Now think about this. Worship is a high priority in the focus of God. God says, you can't be right vertically if you're wrong horizontally. So leave worship. You know, it's amazing though, through the hundreds of years since Jesus was on this earth, how many Sundays across the world have God's people gathered in church buildings and other locations, and they're worshiping? Yet there are people sitting in that same assembly who are upset and bitter and vengeful toward one another. They keep coming to worship, but they have ought, they have problems, they have anger with someone else. Jesus says, you need to have a passion for reconciliation. You need to put it as a priority. What Jesus is saying in this text, and I know the application is tough sometimes, but we got to figure out how to apply it. He's saying that peace and unity should be the focus of a disciple. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, it's easy to destroy. All of us can call names. All of us can get mad. All of us can list all of our injuries and how we've been insulted and how someone has treated us. Jesus is saying, yes, that's what the world does, but you reconcile. You build up. You forgive. You let go, because you're my disciple. And then he gives another illustration. He says, you're going to court. And this is not in the church context. This is in the world context. Someone is taking you to court, and this apparently, you know, in the illustration, you kind of get the idea that maybe it's a monetary issue or maybe it's a civil issue about something. And he says, don't fight it out. He says, if you try to fight it out, you're going to lose. And he says, you're going to be stripped down to your last penny. What's Jesus saying? You might even win the battle, but you're really losing as a disciple of Jesus. So he says, make amends, reconcile, on the way. See the idea? On the way to the court, agree with your adversary, compromise. Unless you end up in prison. Reconcile before going to court. This is the opposite of the way we think, isn't it? And I know there's other passages, and we're just focused on this one. But when we read this, we typically think, when I have an anger, and there's value in time, and Proverbs talks about that, in giving an issue some time before you deal with it. But Jesus, in this context, is teaching us, do it. Get on about reconciliation. Don't harbor this anger. But be focused on reconciling. I think about Romans chapter 12, verse 18. As much as it is possible in you, live peaceably with all men. I want to read something from one brother who wrote about this, an issue he was having anger about. He says, I preached forgiveness for many years. For some time now, I've been fighting a battle, and I will not win this battle. And in the process, I have found something growing in my heart that prior to this, I have been able to stave off. Bitterness. That ugliest of traits. It gnarls the brow and raises the blood pressure. It makes one who is joyful, joyless. One who is pleasant to be around, difficult to tolerate. I made a decision last week. I'm going to forgive this wrong. I still want to fight the fight. I still want to have my say. I still want the other person to come to me and make things right. But I cannot allow this to grow in my life. I will not give Satan a foothold. I will not let it consume me. It has been eating at me. It will cost me, but holding on to it will cost me much greater things. Time, energy, health, joy, stress, sleep, diet, productivity. They've all suffered while I've been entertaining this guest. I will leave wrongs unrighted, but I cannot handle it, and the only one who can will. And then he talks a little more, and he says, his grace is sufficient for me. How can I forgive? How can I not? To tell you the truth, I feel better already. Jesus says a disciple is going to have anger. Anger is not wrong. But it is wrong to allow that anger to go into name calling. In a low value of other people. And if we see that coming, we need to know that it's going to progressively grow. And the end is murder. If we don't cut it off somewhere, it will continue to be a cancer. And it may not ever lead to actual physical murder, but it murders a relationship. It murders our joy. It murders our hope. It murders our productivity. It murders everything about who we are as a Christian. So Jesus says, don't be focused on tearing down. You focus on building up. Make every effort to reconcile. I want to close with Hebrews chapter 12, 15 through 17. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Esau could never get over that defining moment in his early life when he sold his birthright. He was deceived in many ways by his brother Jacob, and he carried that bitterness to his grave. He even cried wanting to change, but he never let go of that anger, of that bitterness. And the Hebrew writer says, see to it that none of you are like Esau. Don't let the root continue to grow and become a full-grown plant in your heart. Jesus says, if you're at worship and you realize someone's got something against you, or you got something against them, leave. The word leave there, the same word that we often translate all through the Bible as forgive. Forgive. Leave. Let it go. Put it down. Move on. Be reconciled. Jesus never said it was easy to be a disciple. In fact, later on he's going to say it's tough. But he does say it's the best to be a disciple of Jesus. If you need to respond, come as together we stand and sing.